Gina and Brian, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I also thank the college for the floor, and I thank you for your attention. I think this is a great session because still to this day, a lot of us as general surgeons, we define ourselves by the hernia care we delivered. And what I'll focus on is recurrence rates, kind of figure out, you know, what the latest is in terms of recurrence rates by each one of these approaches that we discussed. These are my disclosures. I do receive salary support from the Quality Collaborative and have received some research support from Bart Daval. So the two topics that I'm going to focus on, first is define when an inguinal hernia comes back. And the second is really to review recurrence rates comparing open, laparoscopic, and robotic approaches after inguinal hernia repair. If you kind of think about this in terms of defining recurrence, and certainly we've thought about this a lot over the past 5 years, it's not as simple as you might think. If you kind of take a look at what we do in terms of just a simple, straightforward, open inguinal hernia repair, here we're repairing an indirect hernia in this plate from our Zollinger Atlas. Most of us would agree that if that indirect inguinal hernia comes back, we would count that as recurrence. Where it gets a little bit more tricky is, what if there was a direct defect here that showed up after this repair that was done for an indirect defect? Do we consider that a recurrence? I think most reasonable people would consider that a recurrence after an inguinal hernia repair. It's interesting, I've been in a lot of almost silly discussions at multiple levels in terms of, do you call that really a recurrence or do you call that a pseudo-recurrence? I think most of us would call that a recurrence. Where it becomes even a little bit more tricky is, what about femoral hernias overall? And this is where it becomes a little bit more difficult to figure out. I think if you routinely evaluate the femoral space and then a femoral, and you don't necessarily repair a femoral hernia and one shows up later, yeah, I think that would be considered a recurrence. But one could certainly argue if that's not your routine in practice from an open anterior approach, you might say that's a separate hernia. So it's not as easy as you think. What about the modalities for defining recurrence? Certainly our choices are physical examination, radiographic studies, typically ultrasound, to a lesser extent CT and MR, and then also patient-reported outcomes, and it's worth kind of reporting a little bit on the latter. There's some emerging studies to help us figure out that actually for inguinal hernia repair, patients might be the best folks to tell us that it's come back 1, 2, 3 years, 4 years later, but that data is still emerging. So to this day, I would say, physical examination by an experienced surgeon is still the mainstay of detecting recurrence. Other factors we should consider, patient characteristics. Certainly, people with a body mass index of 22 vary in their recurrence rates from someone with a body mass index of 45. Hernia characteristics are also important. I think most of us would agree that a large direct hernia repaired probably has a higher recurrence risk than a pretty small indirect inguinal hernia. The use of mesh certainly has been the mainstay of our repairs in the world, and still to this day, despite a lot of the controversy going on, mesh does reduce recurrence rates. Time course is also important as well. Most of us would also consider that if a recurrence occurs within the first 30 days, probably a technical error, but then if you kind of look out further than that, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it does go up a little bit, but notably not as much as, say, for ventral hernia repair, where we know that recurrence kind of tracks along with time. So it kind of plateaus off in inguinal hernia repair. And of course, our charge today is to evaluate the approach and see how it impacts recurrence rates. If you look at the data that we've had published so far, unlike ventral hernia, where there's not a lot of great consistent data, inguinal hernia has the benefit of really having some good information to help guide us. This is a study, a meta-analysis of a bunch of randomized controlled trials published several years ago, but still today probably one of the best reviews of the overall recurrence rates of inguinal hernia, and it's about 2% if you kind of take all comers without splitting into a lot of different groups. Mesh use was the biggest factor to prevent recurrence. Then if you look at some of the more recent compendia of different studies, the range is anywhere from about 0.5 to 15% depending on the source. Ultimately, the thing is, no statistician, no analyst is really going to decide what the clinically acceptable rate is. That's for you and for us to all decide on what we think is going to be a clinically acceptable recurrence rate. And this is really important. A lot of the work we've done with the FDA, they're very much interested in looking at these things in terms of device surveillance. And so, again, the theme comes back. We're provided with kind of these rough ranges. It's up to us as operating surgeons to decide what we're going to accept as recurrence rates long term. Now, if you look at laparoscopic versus open repair, I would bet most of us would say, well, you know, laparoscopy probably has a little bit of advantage. If you look at the data that's out there, it's kind of a mixed bag, actually. So here's just a couple of different studies. The recurrence rates range anywhere from 2.7% to 5.5%, kind of hover around that range there. And then one study actually is in favor of open compared to two other studies here that are in favor of laparoscopy. What this tells us really is that there's probably an acceptable range of recurrence, and it kind of hovers around that range. Interestingly about robotics, still the data is forthcoming. There's no reliable long-term information, but we would just guess that it's not expected to be much different than laparoscopy after everyone kind of gets past their learning curve. So in summary, the range of recurrence after inguinal hernia repair probably varies anywhere from about 2 to 6% long-term. We don't have information regarding robotics, but this will come in due time. So in conclusion then, we should define acceptable ranges of recurrence. That's our job to do. We don't need to split hairs. Overall, unlike ventral hernia, recurrence rates are fairly low long-term for inguinal hernia repair. The difference between 3.2% and 4.4%, I mean, you know, are you going to wave and say that one approach is better than the other? I would argue that probably don't necessarily need to do that. I think the real challenge is minimizing chronic groin pain while maintaining low recurrence rates, and certainly our panel will help sort this out. What I thought I'd do is kind of also conclude this in the context of just this struggle that all of us face when we're repairing someone's inguinal hernia, and that's this balance of, you know, how do we minimize recurrence but also minimize chronic groin pain at the time. I would argue that up until now we've been kind of a little more focused on recurrence, probably at the expense of chronic groin pain. And this has led to, obviously, reduced recurrence, but it's led to a kind of almost an epidemic of chronic groin pain across this country and across the world. So I'd like to wrap up with, I think, two things you can do at home technically that kind of addresses this balance of recurrence versus chronic groin pain. A lot of us, myself included, I still do a fair amount of open anterior repairs, modified Lichtenstein approach. I think one thing that certainly we can do is do not suture directly into the pubic tubercle. All the trainees out there, if you're with an attending that's telling you to do that, you can say, hey, you heard at ACS, you shouldn't do that. So here's your public service announcement. But I think also you should ensure enough medial overlap to reduce recurrence. And the second is, for those of us who do a lot of laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair, do not treat fixation like you do in lap ventral. I'll kind of show you what I'm thinking with that. So point number one, do not suture directly into the pubic tubercle. So here's a plate from our atlas. You can see a modified Lichtenstein technique occurring here. And just kind of blowing up the medial aspect of this. So here's the pubic tubercle, the red dot there. The point here is that you want to ensure that there's at least about 15 millimeters of overlap between the medial aspect of the mesh and the pubic tubercle, and the sutures don't start directly at the tubercle, but start directly on the most medial aspect of the shelving edge. The thing to do this is it requires a little bit of extra dissection, and you want to expose that periosteum overlying the tubercle itself with that dissection. Laparoscopically, my point about trying to adjust your fixation technique so it doesn't incur as much risk of chronic pain, I don't think we need to cup the entire abdominal wall in lap inguinal repair when we do fixation. I still use absorbable fixation for my lap inguinals. I think you need to gain just enough purchase to affix that mesh to the anterior abdominal wall, honestly to the transversalis fascia and the rectus muscle, and no more and no less, just to minimize that risk overall. Thank you.